How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Hi, it's me. And we have a lot to talk about. Holy moly. Never say never in the world of professional wrestling, right? Isn't that the saying? No matter what happens, somehow people figure out a way to make money and start working together again, and it seems like that's happening in AEW. A lot of news coming out this week about CM Punk returning to AEW. Another, I guess, flagship show for AEW in the works. Possible flagship. We're going to talk about that. Saturdays, 2-hour time slot on TNT, I believe. Could be TBS, but I believe it's TNT. We're going to talk about that and what the possibilities of this is. There's so much to break down with this. CM Punk and his return and the possible programs he could be in and how they're going to do this logistically with the Bucks and Kenny and him not being on great terms at all. We're going to talk a lot about that today. WWE draft dates have been announced. April 28th for SmackDown and May 1st. I'm gonna throw some circumstances out to our producer, Matt, today to play out and see who could go where. I don't know if they should do this draft. I think both Raw and SmackDown have been benefiting from having top guys on both, or top ladies also, on both shows, rather than, you know, splitting the roster and having a half a stacked roster. Also, Jeff Hardy returned to AEW. There's a Hardy compound match that's going to be happening. We want to talk about that and a whole lot more here on Wrestling Observer Live. When we get back, we'll be going deep into the CM Punk story and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here on Sports Byline. Hey, I want to talk about the convention that's coming up before we go into all the latest news here. The Las Vegas convention is happening Memorial Day weekend. Here we go. There it is on the screen. Memorial Day weekend in Las Vegas. For more information, go to f4wonline.com/Vegas. That's f4wonline.com/Vegas. There's going to be meet and greet opportunities, Q&A, sweet party. I was there last year. It was a blast. A lot of great people there. I absolutely love this community. I love the people that show up to the convention. It was such a good time. Unfortunately, I had to leave early. I had a little bit of an emergency back home, but everything was fine. I have, you know, serious FOMO from missing out on all the fun. If you're going to be in the area, if you're planning on going to Double or Nothing in Vegas, definitely check it out. FOWonline.com/Vegas. There you go. So let's begin with this CM Punk story. We may go into two segments with this. We'll see. If my producer's yelling at me here, we'll go into it. When did we, Matt, MG, our producer, he's gonna guide me through this. When did we first start hearing about the rumblings of CM Punk? Because I was always told from the beginning that if it's possible to make this work, they will make it work. You got a guy, you got a top tier guy, right? Regardless of what you feel about him personally, take that all out of the equation. This guy is a proven draw in WWE. He's had a very long career in WWE. He had a great underdog run as being the anti-hero to John Cena, as being the pure babyface in that company. Summer of Punk happens, becomes the guy, has a falling out, leaves, finally gets the itch to come back, comes back, and it's was not a great year for him as far as injuries.
Well, the first part of the year.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
The first 6 months was great, and then we got to the summer, and everything fell apart.
Everything fell apart. Right? It was not a summer of punk. It was the anti-summer of punk. So originally, and I want to go down this as in the order that I was told. We discussed this on Mat Men, but I want to talk about it here because it's a very different approach to delivering this.
So to quickly answer your question, I think it's all started with that Instagram post he put out a couple months ago. And then you started hearing that, hey, there might be more to that than just...
Yeah. Well, I heard about the Saturday show before I heard about CM Punk.
Yeah.
Returning. Originally, I was told that there will be a Saturday show. They're working on it. It was conceptualized. There were some rumblings and rumors that it could be a 6:05 time slot. It could be a 6 o'clock time slot. I was told initially the concept for this is to get more of the talent that is not being represented on Dynamite and Rampage in front of a larger audience. And it gives them another show to work. So, I mean, in my mind, I was thinking like Takeshita, right? Command. Who else? Give me some. Here's one. Roosh, right? A guy like Roosh could be on that show, and he could really display what he could do. It was not a C show. It wasn't presented like a C show, but it was presented as like, listen, this is gonna, maybe we'll have one big match, but majority of it is gonna be like these guys to get them some TV time.
Which is bizarre because you already have Dark and you already have Elevation,
but nobody's watching it.
ROH,
but nobody's watching Dark. That's the reality.
Yeah. You know, so, but they're getting those reps.
They are getting those reps.
Yeah. But then your the point story is to changed. Make them more of a star. Try to build up more stars that way.
Yeah. And listen, at a six, and in my mind, I was like, wow, this is really good because of one reason, right? You're trying to grow your audience. And the way I discovered wrestling was not watching Monday Night Raw at 9 p.m. as a kid. That wasn't something that I did. Even primetime wrestling when that was happening. My dad would, pull me out of my bed and like sneak me so my mom doesn't know that we're going to watch wrestling at 9 o'clock at night. That your access to that show was very limited. The way that I discovered wrestling was Saturday mornings and Sunday afternoons. So I thought this was a opportunity for them. Maybe they're still going to work on something like this, but I thought this would have been a really good opportunity to target an audience that you normally don't attract at 8 o'clock at night, a younger audience, and you could build on that. Well, that's not what this is. The story now has changed, where this is now an A show, an AB show. Listen, and use that terminology very lightly, right? I don't know what they define as an A1B show. We won't know until it happens. You know, Rampage was not supposed to be what it is now. Rampage was supposed to be to continue storylines and to put top talent on that show and to, alternate every week. It's very difficult to do that because you're hurting your ratings for Dynamite when you're doing that. When you're putting these matches on at 10 p.m. on a Friday night when you've already had 2 hours of wrestling from your competitor. So that time slot really is a problem. You don't have too many other days in a week that you could do this. Right now, they're planning for a Saturday show. The rumor is, or what I've been told, is 8 to 10 on Saturdays. This is how we're building to Punk now. Which I want to talk about that time slot, because it's a very competitive time slot. Very, very competitive. You have, not only do you have WWE pay-per-views that happen, you're going to be preempted for NBA eventually, right? UFC. You're going to have UFC on. You're going to have football on. There's a lot of moving parts for a Saturday night primetime show. I don't know. I can't even forecast what the expectation is for those numbers for that time slot. I think it's really untested. We saw Battle of the Belts happen on a Saturday, and the first one did okay, right? One was like 700,000. So now you have your baseline. You know that maybe you could do 700,000 people regularly if you'd put on something that people want to watch. So let's bounce back to CM Punk here. The story is the reason why they're doing this, a lot of the rumors and speculation around this is that you're going to have some sort of a soft split where maybe top talent could come in and out, alternate weeks, but you will have some guys that are generally on this Saturday show, guys and girls. All right, that's fine. If you could highlight a Takeshita, again, I'm going to bring him up, or that Roosh is on the Saturday show and he's going to have a stellar match and, you build it up that way. I could see that working. But to say, CM Punk is only going to be on Saturdays, that's not, I cannot see that being what they do. I saw somebody reported that. I'm going to say, I think that's jumping the gun a little bit here. And I think that's a little premature to assume that's the reason here, because WarnerMedia is very involved in this, and they are very gung-ho that CM Punk is back. I don't believe they pushed Tony to bring him back, but I think they really genuinely appreciate that he's back because they know that he's going to bring ratings. and this is a positive for AEW when you're working with a content partner that way, and you're in a contract negotiation year, they've given you another 2 hours on their network, which is very impressive if you think about it. This company is 3 years old. And it has a it has five hours on network television every week. Some people are saying, well, you don't need 5 hours, but you know what? You know what? You do need that money for 5 hours of content that you're creating. And it also is synergy between you and the network, and you're more in bed with them. We're talking about HBO or Max now, right? That's the future for Warner Discovery for their digital platform. You know, it's a little bit easier to tell the network, listen, guys, we got 5 hours of content. We got, you know, three shows on the network, plus we got Ring of Honor every week, plus we got Dark, plus we got Dark Elevation. Look at how much we have in our block. The watch hours that we could create for you on your platform are huge. These are all things that come into play on top of CM Punk, right? It's not just cut and dry. And I'm going to talk about the CM Punk situation after we get back here. But I wanted to explain, I wanted to start with what is happening here and what they're doing. So at this point, this week on Dynamite, they announced that June 21st will be from the Wintrust Arena in Chicago. I believe the date that is set is June 17th for this show, and it will be taking place in Chicago. I'm not sure if it's Wintrust. I don't know if it's Now Arena. I was under the impression it was Wintrust, but I could have been wrong there. Also, this is a go-home show for Forbidden Door. So a ton of stuff happening here. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to go into the nitty-gritty of the CM Punk situation. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Also here on YouTube and Twitch. So let's go into the CM Punk stuff. MG, how do you feel about this? Because it's so he's such a polarizing figure right now in the world of professional wrestling where, you know, there's a lot of conversation happening as to should Tony have brought him back? How are they going to do this? You know, how is his attitude towards the talent? There's so much conversation happening. What do you make of this whole thing?
Do you remember back when we did the Matt Men Awards back in first of the year?
And, yeah.
It's a thing I do every year with the on the Mad Men podcast, and we come up with awards. And there was one category, biggest draw of the year, and Roman Reigns ran away with it, but not even ran away, but second place was CM Punk, which was not off TV for what, like 3 months at that point?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's still, people still look at him as one of the biggest stars in wrestling. And regardless of how anyone feels about it, having him back on your show makes perfect sense. I think it's a win-win. It's just a matter of these guys can do business together.
Exactly.
I still have trepidations about how they're not going to cross paths in the back. Are you going to literally have? So we're talking the Elite, basically the ones that were involved in that the melee, not
the melee, not the melee, the melee.
That's what I'm calling it. But yeah, so that's my point is I think, you know, these guys are not, I can't see that they won't be able to cross paths back there at some point. So I think they're going to have to sit down and work it out.
They're going to have to listen. It's going to be silly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a, going into this further, they're supposed to sit down and have a meeting and,
there is a meeting that's taking place. Yeah, so let's go down the timeline. So the report, and Sean from Fightful did a great job at this. I spoke to him before he published this story because I was sitting on a lot of this. And, you know, I spoke to a couple of people trying to put together the story, and Sean was one of those guys that I spoke to. I spoke to Dave about it. I spoke to Brian about it because I was told this very early on, and I didn't, you know, I'm not in the business of breaking news, okay? I do it when I think that it could be a fun conversation to have. You know, I'm a media guy. I'm not a journalist. I don't want to be a journalist. I want to enjoy the conversation of what I'm reporting. I tend to talk about positive stuff, fun stuff. You know, that's my approach with professional wrestling. There's plenty of guys that are able to break stories and do all that. if I'm able to break the story, that's cool, whatever. But I'm not seeking to be first with this. I'd rather be correct and right than wrong. So it took a couple of weeks to put this together. And also the people that told me were like, hey, listen, man, I don't want to be affected by this. And you got to have courtesy for these people. You know, if it's a friend telling you something, if it's somebody that you know, if it's someone that reached out in a DM, which happens constantly, you got to do your due diligence. You got to wait on it. If they ask you to, you got to talk and then put together the story, you know, piece it together. So the story here is that CM Punk is essentially happening. I know for a fact that Warner has been told that he's coming back. So he's in the, like, they are very much aware of the situation. He had recently said he was willing to return to AEW and he wants to make it work. So the issue here is that he's willing to work with the Elite members. I know that as of the time I was told and as of early this week, there was no intention on the other side. Maybe Kenny a little bit more than the Bucks, but I know, I mean, there is no, they do not want to work with him. There's been no dialogue between the two sides either. Regarding, you know, sitting down and making this work. So the plans have been put in place to possibly have a tentative Saturday show to be the soft brand split. When I used that term yesterday on Mat Men, I was told that it's less soft than I'm putting out there. So I guess there will be people that are predominantly on the other show, on the Saturday show. Also, Dave reported that there was a meeting scheduled between CM Punk, Tony Khan, Chris Jericho, FTR, and somebody and other people. I've heard this from multiple people. And the way it was alluded to me is that the program will probably be Punk and Jericho in some capacity. I don't know if FTR is involved or Jericho Society is involved, but that seems to be, and you know what? That's a very smart way to do this. Jericho has presented himself as a locker room leader. You know, Jericho came out and said he's toxic or whatever he said. And he's willing to make this work because he realizes that there's money in this. At the end of the day, it's for the greater good of the company to put your personal feeling aside with this guy. If he's willing to make it work with you, you know what? You can make it work with him too. So maybe this is a just to get the ball rolling type thing. Especially with Kenny and the Bucks. Because that big money match, the big, big, big money match is a trios match between CM Punk and FTR and the Elite, and that singles match between Kenny and CM Punk. You got some big shows coming up, guys. You're trying to sell out a stadium. It's a three-year-old company attempting to sell out a stadium. I believe right now, Matt, maybe you could find it, but I think the pre-sale like request, right? Not tickets sold, but the request was around 50,000 like standbys or inquiries, right?
Are we referring to All In?
To All In.
I'll see if I can look that up for you.
If you can find that. I believe I saw that there were like 50,000. First, I saw 25,000 on the list. And then somebody yesterday sent me a link saying that there were 55,000 potential people, you know, in queue to be in the presale. You know, if that's true, if that is true, you know, that speaks to some extent the interest level on the show. My guess was, you know, initially they could sell 25,000 tickets that first day. Easy. But now, you know, maybe you move that bar a little bit. Also, Dax on his podcast confirmed that CM Punk misses wrestling and wants to come back. Of course he wants to come back. He got the itch. Once you got it, you got it. And you know what? He didn't leave on his own terms. He tore his tricep. He had the incident at the scrum. He got into a fight. It's not, you know, you kind of want to rehab your image. At the end of the day, listen, people think that he doesn't care. Of course he cares about how his image stands in the world of professional wrestling. This is a guy that's taken tremendous pride in his work. He was always told he doesn't have that WWE look to become a big star. He proved everybody wrong. He became a huge star with everything against him in the company. And I have no opinion on whether or not he should come or not personally. I wasn't there, and I'm not going to fill in the blanks here based on what happened. But as a business person, as a marketer, I work with people that I despise sometimes. I just don't get along with them personally. Nothing like, I'm not talking about like criminals or, you know, someone that's breaking the law. I think people that I just don't get a, maybe I think you're a little bit of a jerk and I don't necessarily like you. But if it's good for business and there's money to be made, of course I'm going to work with you because my job comes first. Professionalism, which was totally out the window at that scrum. I'm hoping everybody learned their lesson here and they realize how big of a moment this is for them. Because here's the other part, okay? I'm throwing this out there. I'm not saying that AEW is going away in 10 years, right? But let's say that were to happen and AEW is gone for whatever reason. They get canceled. Tony can't do this anymore. Something happened. Who knows? They get bought. That story of the beginning of the end will always be CM Punk. That is the moment that they're going to look back in all those documentaries and they're going to point the camera and they're going to say, this was the moment. This scrum was the beginning of the end for this company. There is nobody that wants that on their shoulders. Nobody wants to carry that burden. And CM Punk definitely doesn't want to carry that burden because this is now, you know, his legacy is tarnished. Tony's legacy is tarnished. Chris, all of these guys. If you can make it work, you're going to have to make it work. So what? This is how I see this playing out, right? I see playing out is that you're going to do a trios match with FTR and CM Punk and Jericho and his crew. You'll do that. It'll lead to a singles match with Jericho. You're going to spread this among across the summer. You could do some interesting stuff. Punk could have some really fascinating matches on, you know, the Saturday show or Dynamite. You could rehab his image to the core that doesn't like him. If he comes off humble and apologetic and he kind of maybe says something and maybe, listen, man, if this guy comes out and looks at the camera and says, listen, Tony didn't want me to do this, but I want to apologize for what happened. I talk about professionalism. I was not professional at that moment. And I've learned my mistake. And I hope that we could, you know, if he does it, he's baby facing himself to the moon. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we talked about this. It's such a crazy thing that happened. Now they're going to have to work backwards and make this work for multiple reasons. You got double or
they
nothing
kind of
coming
reset,
up.
Right?
It's a
yeah,
reset.
They kind of
yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be somewhat of a reset.
Remember, you have the Elite are going to be in this feud with Blackpool Combat Book Club for probably most of the summer, I'm guessing, or going into Double or Nothing and maybe beyond. So yeah, that they're going to be occupied there. So you can leave them out of this and let Punk rehab himself. And then
yeah,
starting next fall, maybe do that program.
I hope so, because that's a big money match. That's a huge money match. Huge. I you know, you don't get these opportunities too often. You don't get to do Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels after Montreal. You know, it's not something that happens. I just use that as a comparison of opportunities that were totally missed, you know, due to circumstances. Not anybody's, sometimes it's not your fault. You know, there were a lot of things, factors that came in here. But if it was a perfect world and a lot of stuff that didn't happen, Bret would have come back in 2002, 2003 and had his match and his return match with Shawn Michaels. It would have been a big mega match. Obviously, it couldn't happen. But you don't get an opportunity like this too often. And Tony knows that. And I think Punk knows that, and everybody involved knows that. At the back of their minds, the Bucks and Kenny have to know what a big mega match this is. When we come back, we'll continue this and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, Sunday edition. Spent a lot of time on the CM Punk stuff. I'm going to move on from there, but I want to know from you guys. Message me on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian. I want to know what you think of CM Punk returning. And if you think that they went, do you think they will make this work with the Elite? Or is this just, you know, do they make it work now? Do they make it work in a year? Do you want to see him back? I want to get a good gauge of what people are thinking here. But this brand split, you know, we'll see what happens. It's a lot on Tony's plate, right? You got Ring of Honor. You got Rampage. You got Dynamite, you got pay-per-views, you got now Collision. It's a lot of stuff happening. God bless them. He's, I don't know how he does it. That's a lot of programming. You know, it's a lot smaller of a team, right? You don't have like 20 writers writing your show. Much smaller of a team. Maybe you could pull it off.
And remember, he helps with a football team too.
And he also owns an American football team and a regular football team. I don't want to call it soccer and upset the international audience here. As my father would say, football. Let's talk about WWE and their draft that's happening. April 28th edition of SmackDown. It'll also continue on Monday Night Raw on May 1st. I'm taking my son to the Mets game that day. It's his birthday on the 3rd. We do an annual Mets game. So I'll be at a Citi Field for that. You know, I here's the thing about this brand split, right? Do you want to shake this roster up right now, guys? Because you're on a roll, man. Business is hot. I'm looking at the SmackDown results right now, right? You know, on paper, regardless of what you think, right? But on paper, what an impressive roster here, right? Show started off, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were interrupted by the Bloodline. Riddle comes out to help him, so Matt Riddle's back. This sets up Solo Sikoa and Matt Riddle in the main event. Xavier Woods defeated LA Knight. I thought this match was a lot of fun. And I'm telling you, LA Knight has grown on me. I saw that reaction in the garden for him in person. And, you know, I'm sure they saw it too because he's getting a little bit more better placement here. And after that debacle with Bray and that, what was it called? The pitch black match?
The Mountain Dew pitch black match.
The Mountain Dew pitch black match.
You got to do the branding. You know, everything's got to be
I'm
a
so
brand.
I'm so sorry. Listen, I'll get my Mountain Dew sending me a check for every time I see Mountain Dew now, okay? I think they realize they got to pivot from here, but all those kids, all the kids in that crowd, like every one of them that I was talking, my son was talking, I was just going up to random children like, hey, kids, who are you here to see? My son was talking, like, it was like a group of like 6-7 boys, you know, all ranging in age from like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They all like LA Knight. And I was like, all right, that's great. Do something. Give them something. Xavier looked good too here. Judgment Day. And I do, you know, I got to tell you, I love Kofi's matches. I love Big E's. Xavier's matches are very different in structure. And it's a lot of fun. I enjoy watching him. This sets up a confrontation, by the way, with Gunther and Xavier to see who's going to be the next IC champion. I like this Gunther run, totally. Judgment Day and Damian Priest. You know, if you think about how your career changes over a couple of years, Damian Priest, right, was in Ring of Honor. He was doing ads for Ring of Honor TV for knee braces and catheters, and you remember those weird commercials they would put on?
Yeah.
Wild. And now this guy's a huge star in WWE and he's hanging out with Bad Bunny. Unbelievable how
he's
your career
gonna be
could
in
change.
A program with Bad Bunny, it looks like, at the Backlash.
Good for him, which is I love seeing this. Judgment Day, Damian Priest cut a promo. Here we go with the typos. Matt, sometimes, I think he malfunctions, our producer, MG, here. Cut a promo on Bad Bunny, warning him not to get involved in Backlash. Damian Priest with Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley defeated Santos Escobar with Zelina Vega. Zelina Vegan, apparently, according to my notes here. Rey Mysterio came out to help out the LWO. I like the LWO branding. Awesome. Great. Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan came out to celebrate winning the tag match.
Just to interrupt there a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you a little bit, but it looks like they're going to heat up Zelina Vega to get that title shot in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
It's going to be a heavy Puerto Rican lineup down there.
Love it. Our friend good Issa's probably going to be. You think Issa's going to be there? Our good friend Issa?
Oh, I'm sure.
Has to be. I'm She's going to love it. You know, I told my wife, I'm like, oh, they're doing the pay-per-view in Puerto Rico. She's like, let's go to Puerto Rico. We'll see at the family's house. I was like, yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind going to Puerto Rico and seeing the relatives. That'd be fun. Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan came out to celebrate winning the tag team titles. They were interrupted by Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. They somehow get a title shot next week. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm gonna let this play out. The tag that women's tag pictures is a little wonky right now. I think the plan got diverted when Ronda got hurt, and it kind of shifted things. But good to see Liv with a title. Always a fan of hers. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Madcap Moss with Emma in a minute 29. He had updated gear, and he has his old entrance back. You know, it might be time to push him.
Updated and sweet. It looks really good.
I want to see them do more with Shinsuke. You know, I really thought they would have. That WrestleMania would have been the moment to put the title on him, even if it was a fast thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy just. I whenever I talk about him to people that have only seen him in WWE, it's actually a really interesting way they react to how much I like Shinsuke. Because a lot of people have not seen his NXT run. A lot of people have not seen, most people have never seen his New Japan run that are watching SmackDown or Raw. This guy was a monster. He was awesome in every way. Put him up against Gunther. I want to see that.
They did that match, didn't they? I thought they did it.
Yeah, but I want to see it continue. I want to see that. I want to see that feud go on. Solo Sikoa.
The big thing with Shinsuke was he didn't. I feel like when they couldn't put the title on him because they just didn't know. I don't think Vince had a plan. He didn't have a next step where he was going to go with it once he had the title.
Of course.
So it was just going to be a quick. Yeah,
but they turned him heel, though. They turned him heel, this great baby face. They would just hit you in the nuts.
Yeah, it was bad.
unbelievable.
It was not a good choice.
Just low blows, you know, over and over again. Solo Sikoa defeated Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle is involved in this. All right. I mean, it makes sense, right? He was feuding with the Bloodline before he left.
You talked about careers that have changed.
Matt
Riddle.
Look
where Solo Sikoa was like a year ago. They're making him a monster.
But dude, there was no doubt Solo was going to be a big star in that company. There was no doubt. Yeah. When the second he went down there to NXT, I was always told that the plan for him is to become, you know, they listen, he's a good worker. Fantastic. He's great. He's young. And he naturally fit in, and he's a great muscle. He's a great enforcer for the Bloodline. And it worked. They brought up a guy from NXT. They injected him in a main piece storyline. And guess what? It's working. And now he main evented SmackDown, and he's doing all these great matches. So
It's like his third or fourth main event.
Yeah.
He's been on top of this card a lot.
And you know what? It's working. Now now they're going to have to add a little bit of personality. Maybe he's the one that turns on Roman, huh?
That's kind of where I'm going, is maybe that's the guy.
Maybe that's the guy.
It's kind of under our nose, and we're not
seeing it. That's the guy that takes Roman out, yeah.
That would be a heck of a story. I mean, you keep this whole thing going, this whole Bloodline thing just keep churning.
It's still selling tickets. It's still drawing ratings, and it's still selling merch. Don't mess it up yet, you know, on the business side. Next week on SmackDown, Intercontinental Champion Gunther will face against Xavier Woods. WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan defend against Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. Ricochet and Braun Strowman take on the Viking Raiders. Ricochet and Braun Strowman is the most bizarre matchup. It's such a weird tag team. And I don't know, like Ricochet, I got to tell you, looks great. I don't know if teaming up with Braun is helping or hurting, but I think having some profile on Ricochet helps. And I don't know what you do with Braun Strowman.
I think this is the best you can do. You expose his weaknesses. If you in a tag team, they can do cool stuff.
But you know what? A couple years ago, this guy was so over. With young fans. And just went nowhere.
Yep.
In 2 weeks also, we're going to have the Undisputed Tag Team Champions, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, defend against the Usos.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Going back to the draft, kind of wrap it up here, but going back to the draft, how do you feel about a hard split? Because I got to tell you, with Vince being involved, that was my whole point of having a hard split, is I never trusted him to not go back to the, because it's a crutch using the same guy in every show.
I don't think they should do a hard split, especially now, because what you're doing, you're alienating a certain part of your audience from watching the other show. You know, I got to tell you, like, when they did the SmackDown split, it really, like, I stopped. The first one.
The first time when they,
when they split it, I like, it took something out of me because I knew, like if I want to watch Hogan, for example, I have to put on SmackDown, right?
Right.
But I wasn't as into Hogan. I was watching Raw way more. I was, and they kind of told you that Raw was the A show in that time, even though you had, you know, what are they, SmackDown 6, and they were doing these stellar, unbelievable matches, and they were kicking butt every single week when it came to, you know, match quality and the build of the story. But, you know, you didn't have Brock Lesnar, you didn't have Hogan, you didn't have these guys. Everything was split up. And it never worked for the long run. Maybe short term, it creates this intrigue and it elevates certain people. Because always I was told, well, if they didn't do the split, then Eddie and Chris would never have been elevated in a position, which I don't think that's true. I think their work rate would have, you know, and the popularity would have pushed it. But I don't necessarily know if we're talking about a hard split. Like, Cody should be on every show. Roman should be on every show that he can. You know, you have key guys. The Usos should be on every show. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn should be on every show. You have key guys.
Viewer fatigue. Isn't that too much of fatigue on the viewers? Because I think that's what a lot of people complain about.
No, what I'm saying, and you don't do it every week, but you know what? You don't put a restriction. Okay. You don't say that Cody will never be on SmackDown because you keep it the way it is. You know, some guys work heavier on one brand than the other, and I also think that the champion should be able to go everywhere. And that's something that's been discussed numerous times. If you're the world champion, you should be on every show. No question about it. You shouldn't be restricted to one brand.
Up to Mania, Roman was on both shows. So
Roman was on both shows, and that was done.
And I
really
trust
well.
Triple H more to do this than I did Vince.
Yeah,
so
me too. We'll see what happens.
You know,
we'll see what happens. We're gonna go to a quick break here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live. Final few minutes here on Sports Byline. A couple of things happened. John Morrison won his boxing debut at Creator Clash 2. Morrison was cornered by Josh Barnett. He also had Hacksaw Jim Duggan that came out. I think LA Knight was there. There was a whole laundry list of pro wrestlers that came out with him. He knocked out the guy from Epic Mealtime in the third round. Afterwards, he cut a promo calling out KSI. So I guess they're going to work on that. All right, cool. Listen, good on John Morrison. Cool stuff. Mercedes Moné makes a surprise stardom debut. All right. I'm curious if she's going to be doing the Forbidden Door show. I hope she does. I think that'd be great. WWE Draft, we discussed. NJPW, New Japan Capital Collision, saw Aussie Open become the new strong openweight tag team champions. They beat Okada and Tanahashi and Motor City Machine Guns. Wild. Aussie Open.
I saw it. It was a pretty good match. It was a long match.
I have to watch it. I watched some of this. I saw the Juice Robinson stuff. But I have to. I just had no time to catch up on it. But very, very cool. I have to catch up on that today. But a lot of stuff happening in pro wrestling. Also, Matt Hardy challenged the Firm to an AEW Firm deletion match. I have no idea what that's going to look like. But all right, cool. Guys, this was a lot of fun. I always have a blast with you guys here every single week. We're live tomorrow. Brian's back. Mike's back. And I'll be back next week. Send me your questions. We'll do a Q&A session next week. At Andrew Zarian on Twitter. Send all your questions over, and I'll do my best to answer them next week on the show. But that's it. We're done for this week. See you all next time. Take care.